Once Upon a December, Chapter 4 of An Ode to Lemanberg, written by Blue000J and read by Fens and Marshes. Four boys stand in an abandoned throne room. Dancing bears, one quips, dragging his hand over the ripped and faded fabric of a tapestry long since forgotten in some quiet corner of the hall. Entertainment. I bet it wasn't fun for the bears, calls another, who's kneeling on the dirty and stained floor, chips of stone and paint digging into his knees as he peers at the throne, toppled to its side. There's no stones left in the gilded wood, the hollows of where they had once sat, empty and looted. It's sort of haunting, says the youngest of the four. In a fucked up way. You know people died in here, right? He turns from where he's been examining the tiles for blood, his quest fruitless, all the blood had been mopped up years and years ago, and instead mimes holding a sword, stabbing out and around wildly. Not if the soldiers fought like you, says the fourth boy, who's been leaning on the one remaining pillar near the entrance to the huge room. His voice echoes a bit and he winces, lowering it some. It feels wrong. I dunno, says the one by the throne, getting to his feet and turning to stare down at his three companions from the dais. Maybe the opposite. What, it feels right? The one by the tapestry picks his way back over to the dais, reaching up behind his head to tug at his hair and tighten his ponytail imperceptibly tighter. No, more... They stare at each other for a moment, then they're on equal ground and the fourth boy pipes up again, having creeped closer to them in the interim. Familiar? He asks, and the first shrugs. Maybe. You guys are being ridiculous. Look at this place. It's a shithole. He'd stopped miming swordsmanship and instead was now watching them, head flickering from person to person as they spoke. Yeah, but it wasn't always Tom's. See, that was where the band would sit, one of them says, pointing a finger to the corner of the room. How the hell do you figure that? The youngest's nose wrinkles, arms folding slightly as he glances over to the other. It sloped upwards a bit, so there'd be a bit above the crowd, and then the dancers and the parties would swoop through here, ladies with skirts as wide as they were tall and men with big hats. They'd dance. As he speaks, the fourth boy swoops his arms out wide, feet shifting over the ground as he goes in a clumsy waltz. His feet kick debris and scatter it to the side as he ends with an arm behind his back and a hand out in a gesture. May I have this dance? He asks, voice faux polite and teasing. Ew, no! The youngest grimaces, slapping at the hand offered. You're fucking weird! I'll dance, Will, says the blonde up on the dais, grinning as he comes down and swoops in, taking his hand. They both laugh, feet moving along the ground to a silent tune as the youngest snorts and crosses his arms. None of them think to ask where they learn to waltz. It's just something that's always been known. Hey, nerds, calls a voice a moment later, and three heads turn in unison to their fourth. He's still on the dais, standing with his back towards them and tipping his head up. Come look at this, he says, then he's moving, feet steady, as he clambers across the fallen throne to get height and grasping at the thick fabric behind it. He tugs, shifting the weight of it and pulling, and then everything goes quite quiet as fabric falls in ripples. It had been tucked into the pole, hidden, waiting for someone to pull it down. Apparently, it had been a while. Dust settles around them from how long it had been folded up, and the creases form cracks and warps down the thread, but it's intact, unlike most everything else in the room. Slowly, they all creep up to the dais as the other boy climbs back down, letting out a breath once they all see the full scope of the picture. It's a tapestry, obviously having taken time and skill, and decorating its border is elaborate embroidery. The main focus is four figures, from left to right, four men, each clad in a different outfit. The first is tall, lean, and clad in shimmering armour. He's leaning on a sword with ease, head turned profile and staring at the man next to him. His face is smiling wide, blonde hair poking out just from his helmet. Even with the limited medium of thread, he seems to radiate mischief. The second is lacking armour, a warm brown coat instead covering his shoulders and the strap of a lute slung over his shoulder. He's got a quill in hand, head tilted to the side and eyeing the blonde beside him. Almost about to speak, words sharp on his tongue. The third is shorter than the rest, but even then holds dominion. His head is held high, crown laden with jewels and armour shimmering. The sword in his hands looks like it was meant to be there, eyes staring dead out across the room. The fourth is also in armour, although it's half hidden by a cloak, hair draping over his shoulder and head tipped up, looking down his nose. His smile is deadly. The axe in his hands is stained red, even though the colours have faded some. They're clearly individuals, each one infamous in their own right. The only similarity and tie between them are the woven crowns they wear, perched atop royal heads. "Soldier," calls the youngest, reaching out to trace the armour the blonde figure wears with a pointed finger. "Bard," says the other, humming a ditty under his breath and wiping his hair out of his face to get a better look at the quill and paper created in thread. "King," says the third, reaching up to hold the top of his head in an unconscious effort to relieve himself of some sort of weight. "God," says the fourth sarcastically, rolling his eyes. "No, he just prayed to the god," says the one standing in front of the bard. He doesn't move for a moment, staring up instead at the figure looming before him. He wasn't a god himself. "Probably felt like it sometimes," says the youngest, tucking his fingers into his pockets. "Considering how the books tell it. Pompous bitches, look at them. They had everything." "They sure did," says the eldest, and they all fall silent, staring up at the tapestry. For a second, there's music in the backs of all their minds, dancing tunes from a party held in a ghost hall, light filtering in from the sunset and food being passed around without question. For a second, they're thrown back in time, heads heavy with the weight of gold. "This sucks," says the one in front of the god, turning on his heel and heading down the dais steps. "I thought there'd be more looting involved." "It's an abandoned castle, Tech. Of course everything's already gone." And just like that, the slight magic, the slight calling dissipates. Bickering fills the stone archways and dances across the broken stained glass, rotten wood humming softly along with them. Four boys make their way across the debris-laden floor and argue about the logistics of robbery and breaking and entering, a conversation that has certainly been held many times before, based on how the eldest sighs and facepalms. A tapestry flutters, already forgotten, behind them as they pick their way out of a castle's remains. They may not remember, but history will never forget. The end. Thank you for listening.